Of all the economic sectors impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, travel and tourism was one that was devastated. But it's also an industry that's seeing a strong rebound, at least here in Savannah. Two local insiders, Visit Savannah's Joe Marinelli and the Tourism Leadership Council's Michael Owens, join this pre-4th of July holiday episode of The Commute to discuss. You're listening to The Commute Podcast, presented by National Office Systems. I am your host, Adam Van Brummer, the opinion editor and a columnist at the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. Today is Thursday, July the 1st, 2021. Today's episode is a roundtable discussion with Savannah's preeminent tourism insiders. Visit Savannah's Joe Marinelli and the Tourism Leadership Council's Michael Owens. We'll cue up that discussion right after I do the National Office Systems ad. Here at the Savannah Morning News, we recently reopened our offices. And it's been great to see staffers in person regularly again. It helps that we have a great space, designed and outfitted by Scott Center's team at National Office Systems. And we're not the only ones. National Office Systems has been working with Savannah area businesses for 30 years and leverages its partnerships with suppliers such as Dirt Modular Interiors and Herman Miller Office Furniture to deliver a top quality product. Learn more by visiting natoffsys.com. That's NATOFFSYS.com. Pleased to be joined on today's Savannah Voices edition of the Commute Podcast by two local community leaders who have written periodically over time for the Savannah Morning News a little bit about their industry. That's tourism industry, and that's Michael Owens with the Tourism Leadership Council and Joe Marinelli with Visit Savannah. And with the 4th of July holiday coming up, I thought it'd be a really good opportunity to circle back with these two, because obviously they work in a sector that has been incredibly impacted by the pandemic, but also has seen an incredible rebound, probably going back to the first of the year. And let's start right there, guys. I know that I remember in January, on one of these rare January weekends where we had a 75 degree sunny day, driving down Bay Street and seeing tourists, you know, everywhere, trolleys running, everything else. And this was back in January when the vaccinations had first started. Was that just pent up demand from people wanting to get back out in Savannah, or is Savannah just, Savannah's the place to be?
Well, I think I'll jump in. The formula really comes down to COVID fatigue, pent up demand, vaccine distribution, and Savannah being a place to be. We really started to see the beginnings of some bounce back as early as September of last year, and even in October, November, we're pacing well ahead of where we all thought we'd be back in April, May, and June for sure. But since the first of the year, and I might even point to maybe Valentine's Day, President's Day weekend as really being the jump off point for when we've really seen the bounce back hit Savannah. And every weekend since then, our visitor numbers have been strong. Visitor spending numbers continue to grow. And so, it's been a very good start to the year and a pleasantly surprised start to the year.
Yeah, Michael, you work with a lot of the businesses in the industry, where obviously they were overjoyed to have this kind of response. But what have you heard from them over time about the pace of the rebound?
Yeah, and so even in the early days, I think Joe's right. As we started seeing a bit of a glimmer of hope in September of 2020, we were still tracking occupancies at that point to be 30-40% on the weekdays and 60-70% on the weekends. That's a huge, huge decline in what we would have seen without the pandemic. But I'll tell you, almost everybody that I spoke to was so appreciative to be at 40% because in April of 2022, downtown was at 6%. So I think that this pandemic really made people appreciate what they had. And they were appreciative of lower numbers because they were better than what they saw before. Our bounce back as far as a recovery outlook has just been nothing short of extraordinary. I don't think it continues at this pace, at this level, in perpetuity. Just as Joe pointed out, we got a lot of different factors here. And I think one of the biggest factors is pent up demand. And that's what we're seeing now. Georgia was the first state to reopen. And whether you like that or not, whether you agreed with that move or not, it certainly was a flag in the sand that let people know this was a place that you could come. I think our destination is well known for its outdoor spaces, whether that's River Street, City Market, our squares, our parks, the Tybee Beach, right here. This made it an attractive place to be. And then because of federal stimulus programs that came from both parties, you know, depending on when they were voted in, it's not a partisan issue. But whether that's PPP or additional unemployment money, there are a lot of folks who had more money than they would have had before. That's a reality of it. And they put that money back into the economy. They did travel. They did get in their cars, not their planes. They're more in the planes now than we've seen. But it became a desirable destination because Savannah is a desirable destination, even in tough times. And I think it's an overwhelming sense of appreciation. I feel like a lot of people, especially in the summer of last year, no one really knew how far this was going to go on. The notion of a vaccine so quick really wasn't in people's heads, or it wasn't believed by I think a lot of folks. And to be where we are now is nothing short of astounding. And I think we're all really incredibly appreciative of what we're seeing in day trippers and overnight visitors.
Joe, talk about the whole idea of Savannah as a drive-in destination. And maybe I am oversimplifying things. Maybe our air travel has been pretty solid and has bounced back too. But I'm guessing that at least in these early days, as the pandemic wanes, that a lot of those people are driving in from around the region. Do you get the sense that we're really growing our profile with that group right now?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I mean, listen, you know, drive market visitors has always been and will always be the bread and butter of our visitor numbers. You know, looking at places like Atlanta and Charlotte and Birmingham and Jacksonville and so forth. I think what's happened over the last 6 months or so is it's given Savannah and Tybee Island the opportunity to make new friends, to attract visitors that maybe hadn't been here before or haven't been here in many years and come in and see what's new, what's different. You know, you talk about things like Plant Riverside District and, you know, the game changer that's been for the destination and you know, the new culinary experiences around town and so forth. So so I think, you know, that's always going to be our bread and butter. And it has certainly been the case through the pandemic. But I think, you know, it makes me think about back when the Gulf oil spill happened a number of years ago, and people that would have typically vacationed in that region had to find new destinations for vacation. And Tybee Island made a lot of new friends at that point. And this has been similar for both Savannah and Tybee, that people that may have traveled elsewhere, may have traveled internationally, haven't been able to do that, have found places like Savannah and Tybee, and we've made a lot of new friends. So a lot of drive market, but you know, and we'll talk about it more in a minute, but, you know, our air service, the growth of our air service here into the market has been helpful too.
Before we get to that, I want to circle back to what Michael was saying, and that was looking ahead to the rest of the year. I think it's pretty safe to say that a lot of our travel here going back to September and October of last year is leisure travel. I know that business travel is a big, big resource for us with the conventions and everything else that go on around the river. What are you hearing, Joe, from your sources in terms of that business coming back? And are we going to see it? Are we going to see it this fall, or is it going to have to wait until the vaccinations get a little bit more widespread?
Well, I'll let Michael talk a little bit about corporate travel, but from a conventions and meetings perspective, we're going to start to see that bounce back as early as August. Our biggest annual convention of the year is the Georgia Municipal Association. They come here every year, typically come in the third week of June. That convention was moved to August of this year due to the pandemic. And my communications with the leadership at GMA tell us they're going to have record-breaking attendance for that convention in August. And Lord knows, you know, August is a good time to get that boost. But what we're sensing right now for convention activity, meeting activity in the fall is stronger than expected growth in terms of registrations and attendance, and we really expect that to carry into 2022.
Interesting. And Michael, what about the corporate travel? What are you hearing from some of your hoteliers?
It's starting to come back now. I think there's such a thing as FOMO, fear of missing out. And in a place where competition exists, and certainly between businesses that are engaged in sales and things like that, once one company started traveling and meeting customers face-to-face, the rest of them very quickly came through. We're certainly seeing a softening of policies related to big Fortune 100 through 500 companies. Their national policies are changing, which is not surprising. Well, look, we saw that at the airports, right? As soon as one airline changed one thing, the rest of them followed suit. Pretty immediately. So that's always going to be true in a competitive environment. And certainly business is a competitive environment. You know, and I'll ask you this. I think a lot of us have attended more Zooms and more video conferences than we have ever wanted or wished to in our lives. And we have found them convenient and better than conference calls. But has there been a single Zoom meeting that you've enjoyed more than if you were with that individual in person? You know, even when it's your family, I've done plenty of Zoom calls with my family, and none of it is anywhere close to that same feeling of camaraderie and joy and subtleties that we see in nonverbal communication. Businesses are going to want to go back to that because we know that businesses, in almost all cases, is about relationships, and relationships best happen with a fist bump.
This Zoom meeting being the exception, right? Because this one is
special.
I'm going on right now.
I'm not enjoying this at all.
But Adam, you know, just before we leave that point, I think Michael's right on. You know, my organization, you know, we have a team of salespeople that go out and meet with convention planners, meeting planners, and event planners all around the country. And our travel has been on hold for the last 12 months. But I'll tell you, you know, literally starting July 1, we get back from the holiday and our team will kick right back in. We have trade shows. We have conventions. We'll be making sales calls in all the usual places, New York and Boston and Chicago. So, you know, we're a microcosm of the dynamic that Michael just spoke about. And the nice thing is we've been able to stockpile those dollars and divert them to advertising, print, digital, and so forth. But it's time to get back out and see people again.
Gotcha. So you mentioned air service, and I know you wanted to kind of make a point, talk a little bit about the difference between nonstop travel and direct travel and what's going on at the Savannah Airport. You want to expand on that?
Well, you know, a lot of people use the term direct. Did you fly direct here? And, you know, in airport lingo, direct means you stop in a city, don't change planes and go on to the next. I fly from Savannah to Atlanta, don't change planes and head to Dallas. I think the amazing thing about the growth that we've seen in our air service here, JetBlue, United, Allegiant, Frontier, Silver Airlines, and on and on, has been the plethora of nonstop flights. I mean, I think we're up to about 41 nonstop flights right now, which has really been great. And some new cities that we've typically have not traveled to, you know, Denver being a great example, nonstops from Tampa and Fort Lauderdale on Silver Airlines. So, you know, that means good things on both sides. In terms of attracting visitors, especially the leisure visitors we've talked about, it's made it easy and affordable for them to visit Savannah. And then for all of us locally, the opportunity to get out and see family and friends around the country. You know, I'm flying to Cleveland this weekend to see my mom, and, you know, again, easy and affordable. So I don't think we should minimize, you know, how important nonstop air service is to our market. And for those of us that in the past might have traveled to Jacksonville or Charleston to fly out, now don't need to do that. So I think it's really important for us to recognize that.
And that's very timely right now because we learned this week that the federal government through the U.S. Senate had approved a grant, $6 million to go toward the expansion of the Savannah Airport, which I guess has been a project that's been in the works for some time. But Michael, from your perspective in the whole idea of getting business into town, what's happened at the airport the last 10 years, maybe even going back to the Great Recession, has just been remarkable with the growth out there. What does that mean in terms of getting new businesses and new hospitality and growing the hospitality industry in Savannah?
Yeah, it's first of all, it, like so much in, when it comes to economic investment in infrastructure, and certainly travel's a critical portion of our infrastructure, there are a lot of different layers and a lot of different areas that it positively impacts. The economic development side in the tourism industry, and don't think just hotels, right? But think restaurants, and think the more desirable the destination, the better visitation that it has, the higher quality visitation, which is something we can boast that very, very few other destinations anywhere close to our size can boast. That creates investment. Investments create jobs. Jobs reduce taxes, right? I mean, it's a huge effect. And a lot of it really does depend on how easily we can get in and out. For the same reason that our concrete corridors, I-1675, are essential to the port, air travel is essential to our growth as well. And whether that's a leisure destination or more importantly to some, to the conventioneer and meetings, airlift is absolutely huge. So when we talked 10 years ago about a potential expansion for the convention center and whether or not a convention hotel would go on Hutchison Island, you know, I will tell you, I was definitely one of the first people that said, it's not time yet. We're not, they don't have the lift to support this type of expansion. That's not the case now. We have the lift thanks to the airport's effort. And Joe's probably not going to say it, but also thanks to his effort, thanks to CETA's effort, to the chamber's effort. You know, it takes an enormous amount of community work to attract someone like JetBlue, Southwest, and those expansions. And because we have folks that are dedicated to that type of creating that type of economic development in our community, we have been successful and we're ready to continue our responsible growth pattern for our community. And we're seeing it happening right now, even in the midst of a pandemic. Go look over the convention center right now and you'll see that pylons are being drawn, are driven as we speak. This expansion that we hoped for 20 years ago is now a reality. And air service is a huge portion of making that possible.
I'll break into this interview right now to talk about the things we do here at the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com Beyond podcasts. Put simply, we deliver the best in local news coverage. We go in-depth on topics important to you, whether it's Savannah's city manager search or the best new restaurants around town. If you aren't a subscriber, now is the time to try us out. You can get full access to our digital content for $1 a month for the next 6 months. All those stories marked subscriber only on our website, this gets you behind that paywall. So dig under those couch cushions and check the pockets of those pants you put in the laundry for some coins or small bills and sign up today. Go to savannahnow.com/subscribe now and sign up. Now back to the interview with Joe Marinelli and Michael Owens. That's a good segue. You mentioned the expansion of the convention center is turning dirt now, really getting going. And of course, we got some other projects that are coming online, whether it's the Thompson Hotel over at Eastern Wharf, or I know Plant Riverside is still working toward building out their property. Joe, when you look at the stuff that's in the works, how key is this new product to Savannah?
Well, I like to use the term, the phrase, the best is yet to come. Because these projects, you know, and I think, you know, it's interesting as I reflect on this conversation, so much of it is about tourism. But the idea that all of this growth for this community, in terms of everything we've talked about so far, coming at the same time that as a result of the pandemic, people are leaving big metropolitan areas like New York and Boston and Chicago, looking for new places to live and relocate their business. You know, the timing for Savannah is right. And, you know, we're seeing that with the very limited supply of homes for sale and the price, the high prices of selling the homes right now. So I think, you know, all of this ties together in terms of economic development. And Michael and I like to use the phrase economic prosperity because it really is that. And when you think about where we've been the last 12 months and where we already are, I think, you know, you look at Southwest Airlines coming into the market, not only with five new cities to start, but they've added two new cities since then. And, you know, the news from CETA about Amazon coming into the market is a big deal. We just got word last night from a big citywide convention that will come here in August of 23. The American Society of Plant Biologists will bring about 3,000 people to town, and that'll happen because of the expanded convention center and the new air service. So we're seeing that economic impact on a lot of different fronts, not just filling, putting heads in beds and butts in seats.
And before we leave that notion of new, I think it's important to remember that, you know, as we do see new product, new investment, new ideas, and new places come into this market, we're not leaving behind our institutions, right? It's not a binary choice of well, there's a new product and so everybody else suffers. That has never been the case in our 30 year, you know, I say 30 year history because it's really when tourism has become what it is today and its meaningful impact on our local economy. But I mean, think about it as the Plant Riverside District has come out of the ground and Joe describes it as a game changer. You know, go ask the Marshall House, which was, you know, really the first historic hotel project in the city back when Payne Weber Group bought it out in 1999, right? Ask them if they have suffered as a result or if business has declined with all this new product. I mean, I managed the Marshall House at one point in my career, and I've still got a huge soft spot for it. And I remember thinking as a hotelier back then, you know, wow, there's a lot of things going on. There's this new thing called the Mansion on Forsyth Park, and then there's something called an Andaz that's happening over there at Ellis Square. You know, are we going to be left behind? No, we were never left behind. You know, we have a diversity in product offering, both new and old and historic. And that's what makes Savannah great, is there's a little something for everybody at every different price points, at different feelings. If you like modern, we've got a modern place for it. If you like historic and classic, boy, we got plenty of those. And something that often gets lost in the shovel is the success of our bed and breakfasts and our small inns, which are terrifically wonderful preserved homes and structures that have not been left behind by new investment into the marketplace. I do truly believe that rising tides floats all boats, and all of these are pieces of the puzzle, right? In 10 years, Savannah will not be the same, or wouldn't be the same if PRD was gone, right? Or the Marshall House was gone, but we all walk through and create this economic prosperity together using lots of different facets. So it's not a case of in with the new, out with the old. It's never been out with the old in our community, and we're going to continue to stand by that.
Another focal point related to the pandemic and in the sector that you both work in has been the effect on labor. We saw, I think the labor numbers were, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, pretty much cut in half last April when everybody had to start laying off people because there was no tourism. And of course, it's bounced back like everything else. But if you look at the labor numbers now compared to where they were last February or March, we're still short 3,000 people, 3,000 jobs, maybe not 3,000 people, 3,000 jobs. A lot of these industry, a lot of restaurants and bars and hotels have had a hard time finding help. Where are we on that? Is it coming back? What has been the impact? Of course, the federal unemployment benefits were basically just, you can no longer get them in Georgia, I think, as of last week. So maybe we're not seeing any impact on that yet. But where are we in terms of the labor? And do you see it just gradually kind of climbing back? Or are we going to be struggling for a while? Where are we?
So I definitely think it's gotten better. But I'll say it's slightly better than where we were just a few months ago. So a couple of different factors there. And, you know, I'm typically one of those people that believes it's never just one thing. It's never just one thing. So the labor shortage of a few months ago, which again still exists, was not just because of additional unemployment benefits. It was also a true and earnest fear of COVID-19 and its infectiousness. Childcare was a serious issue. We struggled that within our own office. I have a small team, but we all have families, and we've had some kids in the office, including one of mine. Not everybody can offer that type of flexibility for a lot of different reasons, but those are real issues as well. What we're seeing now is one, I can tell you, for the folks that said unemployment benefits have nothing to do with it, they're flat wrong. That's not the case. And then, by the way, it's not a partisan issue, all right? And then people want to make that a Republican and Democrat thing. Well, the Democrats did this. Well, the Democrats did put in $300. The Republicans in the Senate, by the way, put in $600. So we've had two different rounds of additional. It's not a partisan issue. It was a needed thing. It's probably still needed in other communities that aren't as open as we are. But I don't know that our community needs to be as reliant on that. One of the things that we can track on that is visitation. So that's traffic, web traffic on job seeking sites. And we've seen two bumps in that in recent days. The day the governor announced that it was going to end, we saw a bounce. And the day it ended, we saw a bounce. And we do own, we don't operate it, but we do own a URL that does jobsinsavannah.com is something that we've got an interest in. And so we can see that tracking. The other thing that's happening, and Joe and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, we've also seen people adapt. That's always going to happen. Whatever the demand is of the day, whatever the shortage, the weak point, or the concern of the day is, businesses are going to adapt. Just as they adapt in COVID times with new requirements of social distancing, masking, and so on and so forth, they're adapting to a workforce that wasn't as strong as it was before. However, I will remind folks that in 2019, before the pandemic, everybody in the community was talking about a shortage of labor. Right, so this is actually not a new problem. It may be a little bit exacerbated by the circumstances of the day, but we were at roughly 4% unemployment pre-pandemic. It's where we are again, and we're going to continue to have those struggles, which frankly is why as a community we have to stop talking about affordable housing. We have to stop talking about workforce housing and start doing something about it. We've done a really good job of making sure that everybody in the sun agrees that it's an issue for the community. Now it's time to actuate that and turn that into actual progress for our community.
I'm going to come back to that, but I want to ask Joe just real quick on the labor. As you're marketing out there, are you hearing from people that they're concerned about what's open or what's not open, or what is their experience going to be like because there's not enough people to make up the beds and wait tables? Are you hearing any of that?
Yeah, Adam, I would say probably earlier this year, February, March, April, the phone calls that we were getting in our office, some of the inquiries at our visitor centers were all about that. What is open? Can we take a trolley tour? Are the restaurants open and so forth? I won't say that is completely subsided, but I think I think we're getting past that. People are getting on the road and traveling, and I think you mentioned our marketing. I mean, we're sending a very strong message, print advertising, digital advertising, social media messaging, that Savannah is open. And I think with the mayor's announcement yesterday of sort of lifting all of those restrictions, it takes it up a couple of notches. So that's been part of, how we've managed the message over the last couple of months, but I think it's less so now.
Yeah. And for Michael, from your perspective, that's a little bit of a tightrope, right? Because you're getting all of these people that are coming back and maybe experiencing Savannah for the first time. You want to make sure the experience is top notch. That might be another place where a labor shortage may be a little risky, right?
No, 100%. Folks have high expectations for coming to Savannah. They're coming to iconic places in an iconic and historic community known for its Southern hospitality, right? Where our moniker is the hostess city of the South. They have high and deserving expectations. And I think for the most part, we live up to that, but we are a human institution. We will occasionally fall short. We do. I think as a community, we do very, very well on that. I love that I still see pretty constantly, somebody holding onto a map, looking around, and there's a local that comes up, says, "Hey, can I help you find something?" It's not just, and that's something I think it's important everybody should understand, is it's not just the service they're going to get at a concierge desk or a valet or a great bartender who's funny and interesting to talk to. It's the spirit that we have in this community of kindness. And we've had it. I've had generations of my family have called Savannah home, but I didn't live here until 20 years ago. And I was welcomed with open arms by genuinely kind people. My impression of a community that I go visit typically doesn't happen in a hotel or a restaurant. It happens when I'm walking around the street. And I got to tell you, we have a phenomenal community that is kind and patient sometimes. Sometimes it's required to be patient. That is a bigger indication of what our community is and stands for than any other service offering that we offer in the service industry. And I certainly hope we can always keep that, because it's, in my opinion, one of the things and reasons that I love calling Savannah home and raising my children here is that sense of community, kindness, and good old fashioned Southern hospitality that we still have.
Last topic for you all is, Mayo, you touched on it a little bit earlier, and that was workforce housing. And of course, you were quoted in the newspaper as we were working up some series of stories on the future of Yamacraw Village. Of, you know, everybody, I guess probably people expect you to say, yeah, that's a great thing. It's the location, and everything else, and you know, just think about the hotels and all that. And instead, you said, hey, here's another piece that could help really address the workforce housing. Of course, we've got other city or government-owned properties that are going to develop near downtown, whether it is the Canal District that's coming up or the Civic Center redevelopment on the site. From your perspective, and even out to Eastern Wharf, from your perspective, do you see some pretty big opportunities here in the near future to address this workforce housing? And can you kind of talk about why it's so important for people that work in the hospitality industry downtown to be able to live closer to where they work?
Sure. So a couple of things there, quite a lot to unpack, but not the time to do it. Is anybody who expected me to say this is a perfect location for a hotel has never met me and doesn't know me even remotely, or what our organization does. We've never advocated for a single hotel being developed in our history. That's not what we do. That's not our responsibility. We think it's great that anybody want to invest in the community so long as it's going to fit into our community's vision and who we are as a community. But, you know, I've never been a guy that says we need more of any particular thing, except for I need more things for my children to do. You know, as a resident, I want more interesting things for that. First of all, this is a pretty unique opportunity that we have a large parcel of land in one of the most active downtown communities in the United States. Right. And the private sector is going to see, as it always has, to fill certain needs. Right. That's if we don't have enough hotels, I promise you there's going to be more. If we don't have enough restaurants, there's going to be more. If there isn't a bookstore, then there's going to be. The private sector is always going to see to the demands. Right. What we're not always seeing right now is a response to the demand in housing. For workforce level housing or entry level housing, so on and so forth. And a lot of that, frankly, is due to our own well-intentioned government. Right? We saw a House, a bipartisan House study committee 2 years ago really try to dig into the affordable housing issue in Georgia. And what they found, the number one thing at fault was themselves and municipalities and counties. The restrictions that we put on building, the how difficult we've made it, how long it takes to go through the permitting process has contributed at least 30% of the cost of developing a property now. 30%. Think about that for just a second. That's a lot of money when we're talking about a house, right? So again, we've got to adopt government policies that make it easier and more economically viable for the private sector to jump in and fill that need. And until we're willing to do that, then we're going to have to look at other avenues, which includes the government using its assets that don't cost the community money, including land, right? This is a great opportunity for us to locate workforce individuals that are working in our community that don't have to be reliant on transportation. You know, the CAT bus system is a phenomenal infrastructure piece in our economic, our big economic picture, but it can't go everywhere. And the public is not going to be willing to pay what it would cost to get the CAT buses everywhere, right? We've got economic concerns environmental concerns about mass transportation, traffic, and so on and so forth. If we can return the notion of being that a great place to walk to work, that opportunity there, it allows folks to really grow within the economy. They can grow their careers, they can grow their families. We need more choices. And the other thing I would say is it doesn't need to be, it's a lot of land. It doesn't need to be relegated to one specific housing type. I think we've seen a lot of models around the country where a diversity in housing and density has really done better for everyone. it is this great opportunity that we can think outside of the box. We can build on successes of other communities because they have gone before us, right? And let's replicate success in other communities into ours. We don't have to think that we're so special that we need a special Savannah solution to problems that have been faced in communities around the United States. Let's go get some of those success stories and let's make it happen here. And we have an opportunity to do it. We should not miss out on this opportunity.
It's going to be really interesting. We get a new city manager hired and the council can start then focusing on some of these other priorities. I think affordable housing, certainly workforce housing. I think we can talk about the terminology there, but we're basically talking about the same thing. And of course, the folks that work in the hospitality industry need some affordable housing close to downtown. What are they doing now, Michael? A lot of them are parking outside and riding shuttles and buses in or paying the high prices of the parking meters or the parking garages. And it's just, as you said, it's a very complex situation, but it's one that if we were to tackle it and make a difference on it, that it could really move the needle all the way around.
Yeah, I don't want to be a community that never misses an opportunity to miss an opportunity. Now it's time to take some action and coalesce and get it done. Now's the time. We have the place. We have the location. I think there's a lot of folks in this community that have the vision. It's time to press forward.
Yeah. Well, Joe, Michael, thanks so much for taking the time today to talk about this. I know it's a busy week as everybody's getting ready to gearing up for the weekend and gearing up to take a little time
on vacation, apparently.
Thank you, Adam. I think it'd be fun to do this again in about 6 months and sort of, you know, reflect back on the year that was and what's ahead. I think, as I said a few minutes ago, the best is yet to come. And we as a community are very, very fortunate to live in a place that is rebounding as quickly as it is. Every one of your listeners and readers know people in other cities that are not enjoying what we have here. So we're very blessed and very fortunate, and we appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
Absolutely.
Adam, as I sign off, I'd just like to, again, take the opportunity to thank Savannians who came in so strongly for our community, our restaurants, and places like that during the pandemic. Because so many of our community members were willing to try takeout, buy a gift card, things like that. A lot of businesses that survived because of our community coming together. And I never want to miss the opportunity to thank my fellow Savannians, my neighbors, my friends, for making sure that we survived in the way that we did. We, as always, we can't do it without Savannians, and we're proud and appreciative of everybody's support.
Thank you so much for saying that. And thanks to both of you for joining me.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Commute, and thank you as well to our presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. Please support them as they support this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode of The Commute and want to hear more, download archived episodes on your podcast app by searching The Commute with That Savannah Opinion. The Commute returns next Tuesday when my colleague, reporter Ryeza Haversham, is in the host chair. Enjoy your holiday weekend.